You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary stood at the foot of the cross on one side of Jesus, and the disciple John on the other. And looking down from the cross, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." With that, Mary became our mother, our spiritual mother. We celebrate Mary as our mother on Mother's Day, as we celebrate and honor our earthly mothers. And I think we have the perfect guest, Father Jim, for today's show. In fact, she started and contributes to CatholicMom.com, and she has also just come out with a new book called The Grace of Yes, 8 Virtues for Living Generously. So we have a lot to talk about and praise to go to our mothers. So, Father Jim, is it about that time to get started?
No, I think it is. And we're going to learn a lot of things about Lisa and all of her works. She has a website in which you'll find all different kinds of topics, from the Catholic faith to family life, cultural resources, more than you can imagine. And there's a Catholic book club, which you can join, and has lesson plans not only for religious educators, but for all you moms who homeschool.
So we'll have Lisa Hendy talk about all that, along with pivotal moments of her journey of faith that she shares with us in her book, The Grace of Yes. Let's welcome Lisa to Mary's Touch. Hi, Lisa.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be with you, Sherry and Father Jim. It's a great treat to be on your show, especially as we honor and celebrate mothers.
Oh, and Mother's Day, very exciting. And Lisa, you know, when I was doing a little Google on CatholicMom.com, I was just so impressed with all the information that's there. Meaning, I wish I'd had this available to me when I was raising 3 sons. Tell us how you got started with CatholicMom.com.
Oh, it's been such an amazing journey. I always have to thank my husband, Greg. Well, first of all, I thank the Holy Spirit, because when I started the website back in the year 2000, I couldn't have imagined that now, you know, 15 years later, I would still be at this and it would still be growing. My husband, Greg, has been such a great supporter and so willing to be patient with the way that that my life has been given over to this work, literally. And the website started out of our home and still runs out of our home, but now we have over 150 contributors, all volunteers, who share their writing. We are publishing now in 3 different languages, and we're visited by people in over 150 countries around the world every day at the website. So it's really just a work support and uplift primarily mothers, but now our work has extended really into all members of our Catholic family.
Well, I saw, as Father mentioned, lesson plans for homeschooling or information, even coloring books for kids, but with a religious overtone, a Catholic overtone. I thought, how neat is all this? So how did you...
it is
really cool.
It's something that actually started in survival mode for me. A lot of people ask why I started the website, and it wasn't because I thought I was the perfect Catholic mom or I had all the answers. Quite the contrary, the website started when my oldest was a second grader and my youngest was in kindergarten, and it was before my husband, Greg, has since then joined the church through the RCIA. And but at that time, he wasn't yet Catholic, and really the responsibility of raising those boys in the faith was kind of squarely my responsibility. And I started one of the very first resources that we had was our Sunday gospel coloring pages. Mm-hmm. And really that was out of survival of just trying to get my little one to stay quiet in the pew. And now all these years later, that's really by far still the most popular resources.
Yeah. What does that tell you? we all.
Yeah. It tells me that there are a lot who need that. And, you know, all of our activities are offered free. So these are really being used by catechists everywhere. And families, too, to really unite their family with what's happening at Mass on Sundays.
How important is that, Father? You know.
Well, it's very, very good. I know whenever we come to the part of the Mass where I'm about to, well, actually at the very beginning, before we read all of our scripture, we have the children in the congregation come forward, and then they go out with teachers to break open the Word in language that they understand better. And we think that they have a good time together with these teachers who love them much and really share that with them. And then I usually tease them a little bit, too. I say, you know, there's a special reward for this, and that is you get to be with these nice teachers, and you don't have to listen to me preach.
And, Father, you know what's amazing? I have the blessing of speaking around the country in different parishes and dioceses, and I've actually been in parishes that aren't my own and been sitting there on Sunday when in Mass, when children come back from children's liturgy, and I've seen them return with my coloring pages in hand. And
Just
always makes me smile that, you know, these are tools that are being used for such a great reason. And I'm sure the children in your parish are really lucky to have a homily like you.
Well they are. You are exactly right, Lisa. But there's just so many things as a Catholic mom that you want to do for the children. And it just depends, you know, on your parish, I think, and its size. And now, you know, the world is open to us with our computer capabilities today, but it wasn't always like that. So how did you get over 150 women contributing and writing for this? How did all that happen? I think that it's just a great story. Tell us.
You know, well, I have to say, first of all, we don't just have women. We have a group of men that write for us, too. We have actually 5 college interns. We have a couple of religious sisters and some permanent deacons, too, that write for us. So our team is broad and diverse. And, you know, that was one of the smartest decisions that I made when about 5 years into the website, when I began to realize that other voices were so important to this. And I've never gone out looking for writers, but it seems every time I have a prayer desire, such as, for example, to be able to have a column specifically for parents with children of special needs, I'll have somebody come forward and just say, can I volunteer to write for you? And so a lot of our writers are very experienced writers, but others of them are writing for the very first time. And, you know, so it's a real joy to share. Just so Catholic families are so diverse in today's church that we need to reach all of them.
Good thought. I also think it's really important to share. You know, everyone has their own gifts, and this is a good place to do that. And I think, too, the world is changing. You know, even in my father's time, you worked 35 years and you got the gold watch and you always just minded your own business. And today, you know, everybody works in groups and they all share. And this is a perfect example of that. And I thought maybe even gave you an impetus to do your book.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, the Grace of Yes is actually my 3rd book, but it's kind of interesting that as, you know, over the last 15 years, the technology has really changed, and our website is not really even just a website anymore. We're really active on Facebook and Twitter and at YouTube and all kinds of different places. So the books that I've written have definitely been born out of the experience of the website, though.
Well, and I also want to congratulate you on your husband's conversion going through RCIA. And I've always been impressed with that. And obviously, you were a great influence, and not just because he didn't want to be left out of the loop, but he must have, he chose that because I'm sure you didn't put any pressure on him at all.
You know, Father, boy, this is, St. Monica is one of my very dear intercessors, and she heard from me a lot and still does as a mother of young adults.
Oh, good for you.
Greg's situation, but it was 17 years into our marriage. And I just thank God that I realized early on that this was his journey. And it's actually something that I write about in the early chapter of the Grace of Yes, but really that his call to the church, I credit my kids more than I do myself. But the year that my younger son made his first communion, and the fact that our husband was present there at the Eucharistic table, still brings really tears of joy to my heart. And for those out there that I know are in this situation, I just say never give up praying for your loved ones. They, you know, even once a loved one will come into the church, they still need our prayers that God will be close to them and in their heart.
Well, you know, I love the fact that you mentioned St. Monica. And for those who may not be as familiar with St. Monica, of course, she was the mother of St. Augustine or Augustine, depending on how you like to pronounce it. And, of course, her prayers led him in to become one of the great fathers of the church and an excellent writer, among other things, The City of God and Confessions of St. Augustine. So congratulations on helping our listening audience learn more about St. Monica and intercessory prayer. This is always good. Very welcome.
Thank you.
One quick story. I had a gentleman who was in a parish I was pastor of, and I noticed that he always was in the communion line for a blessing, but he never received communion. So one day I asked him, I said, why don't you ever receive communion? And he said, well, Father, I'm not Catholic. And I said, why not? And he said, no one ever asked me. And I said, you mean you've been sitting there all of these years asking for an invitation? I didn't even know you weren't Catholic. And he said, that's right. And I said, okay, I'm asking you, would you like to be a Catholic? And he said, yes, I would. And I said, well, fantastic. And so he'd already been to all the classes. He knew everything about it. He knew more about the Catholic Church and most of the cradle Catholics there. So that afternoon, I received him into the church.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, and thank you for inviting your husband to partake of the complete family and the imitation of the Holy Family.
Yes.
Well, it is a great joy, and we have just celebrated 12 years at this last Easter Vigil, the 12th year of Greg in the church. And I have to say that I just still often am moved to tears when I see my husband receive the Eucharist.
God bless you for that.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes. How great. Tell us about the Grace of Yes. Now, you said you've written other books too, but I think this is your latest, is it not?
Yes, it is. And this book has been such a gift. You know, people ask about that. What does that mean, the grace of yes? And really, the book really deals with two topics. The first is, you know, how we are called to respond to God's will for our lives and giving him our own unique and special and worthy yes to what he calls us to. And then the second part of that is once we've given God our yes, how we try to live as generous spirits in the world around us. So how being a Christian, how being a Catholic, how being someone who says yes to God changes our behavior and the way that we live in a world that's really greatly in need of our love.
I tell you what, let's take a quick break. We've introduced your new book, and we're going to come back and ask you about giving God our life and then our responsibility of living that life. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to hear the rest of Lisa's story and about her book, The Grace of Yes.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte. We've been broadcasting Mary's Touch for 9 years now. Each and every year, we've won a special award, from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there, marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for listening every week to Mary's Touch. Welcome back. We're visiting with Lisa Hendy. She explores 8 spiritual virtues in her book, The Grace of Yes. Let's find out more about her journey, giving God our life, and then how we live it once we've accepted that. Lisa, welcome back, and tell us more about your book.
Well, thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Father. I love that we're talking about this as we're celebrating mothers and the month of May, which is, as we know, our Blessed Mothers, a wonderful month of celebration. And I have to say that really one of the things that I dwell upon in the book is really the example of Mary and her yes. If you've seen a copy of the book, you know that there's a goldfish on the cover, and we actually had our readers, we had a name the goldfish contest and to name that goldfish, and our readers selected the name Fiat for that goldfish, which, as we know, is our Blessed Mother's yes to all that God called her to in her life. And if we feel like that we have a hard time really living up to what we think God is calling us to, we just need to look at Mary and the way in which she, as a young teenage unwed girl, said yes so faithfully to what God was calling her to.
And we talk a lot about this, I think, on Mary's Touch, about listening to what God wants us to do. What is our calling? What passion we have for it? And then how do we live that kind of life? So how do you live the eight virtues that you talk about for living generously?
Yeah, well, really, I mean, the very first chapter right off the bat deals with this idea of a yes to belief or to faith in our life. And I feel like that if we were to stop right there, that would be the most important one, that understanding and hearing. I'm not one of these people who's heard a voice or had a dream or had a vision of, you know, God telling me exactly what to do. And I wish I would have been, but I'm really trying to stay close to God in our prayer life, being really immersed in reception of the Eucharist, frequent Mass, close to the sacraments, and also really close to the Word of God. I feel like that is so important, and that for me, the messages that I get in just something as simple as listening to the daily gospel, reading it for myself, and morning prayer really kind of gives me my marching orders very often for the day.
Let's stop right there for a second. Your morning prayer gives you your marching orders. I'm not going to let that statement get by without a little. tell us more about that.
Sure. Well, I mean, for me, I have to hit my knees literally first thing in the morning. I try to always start my day with morning prayer, and you know, not that it's an hour long. It's very quick, but part of my daily routine is praying the morning prayer and the liturgy of the hours, and also just prayerfully reflecting on the day's gospel. We're so lucky that it's online, and out here in California where I live, we also were lucky that I can frequently have Pope Francis's homily for the day. We know he preaches almost every day publicly, and so I can wake up and read his homily and really combine that with some quiet time in the morning to really look at, you know, along with my to-do list for the day, what is God calling me to each day?
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a real example of that?
Well, yes, and I think it's really pertinent for moms. You know, we may have a list of ideas of things that we want to do to get through the day, but then we know that we're often called to be a little distracted from our to-do items and, you know, to be there for our family members or people in our community. And one of my prayers every day is just really to be obedient to that, to have my antenna up to moments where maybe it's one of my children or maybe it's somebody that I'm seeing the parking lot at church or out someplace that, you know, reaches me in a special way and takes me away from what I had planned and into serving them with a generous spirit.
And I think that's what it's all about, don't you? You know, thy will, not mine.
Right. And it's hard, though, I think, especially for women, because we can often be very kind of goal-oriented. And, you know, we know we have certain work to get done during the day. And I'm not saying that we throw that to the side, but I do think that all of us need to really be looking at times when the face of Christ represents himself in a little child who's having a bad day or a friend who really needs a listening ear.
Sure. Yeah, because we are list people, aren't we? And multitaskers and trying to, you know, kids do so. I mean, I'm into grandkids now and they do so much. And it's, I think you're right that, you know, if we can start our day with, if I don't get this list done today, God, that's okay.
Right. And really, I mean, really connecting our will to his, I think helps us see that on those days when we feel like we didn't get anything done. If you really look back and see the moments at which you were distracted from what you thought you were supposed to do because you were caring for someone else, I think we'll see that's always a better use of our time.
You know, Lisa, one of the things that really strikes me about your writing and your message that you put forth so well is the importance of forgiveness. And I think that moms really do have to forgive all of us for a lot, because I don't think that we give them the the love, or we show the love, we give it in love, but sometimes we don't show the love that we really ought to. And yet our mothers forgive us. And this is a great lesson for all of us. And thank you for emphasizing forgiveness, and talk about that a little bit for us, will you?
Well, sure. I mean, that's a huge theme in the book, and I was really lucky. We could do a whole show on this sometime, but I was really lucky to travel to the country of Rwanda with Catholic Relief Services and to really have kind of a huge lesson about reconciliation. They're commemorating 21 years since the Rwandan genocide, and you know how you move forward in communities where such horrendous evil has been done. It helps me to reflect on the fact that, you know, the grudges that I bear in my life, the times when I refuse to forgive, doesn't harm the person that I think I'm victimized by. It harms me more than them. And then also that God gave us the perfect vehicle to have forgiveness in our own life, and that those things that make us feel broken and separated from God or the church, you know, those are the things that we can take to the sacrament of confession and be unburdened by, and have true unity with the joy that God wants us to have in our life. Just waiting for us.
And I do think an important thing about forgiveness, first of all, I think you're right on. Usually the person that we're trying to forgive doesn't even know we're thinking about them, you know, so we're hurting ourselves. But sometimes I think forgiveness, it shouldn't, but it takes longer than you think.
Yes, absolutely. And true forgiveness, I mean, we can tell somebody, I forgive you or I'm sorry and not really mean it, you know, and sometimes it's just, there's never going to be a reconciliation with the actual person. Mm-hmm. We reconciliate with the situation and we give that over to God and we find peace in that.
Right. And I think that's the important thing, that sometimes that path in forgiveness is just giving it to God every day. And finally, it happens to you. I mean, I'm speaking from experience that, you know, I had to forgive someone and I knew it was up to me. With God's help, of course. And it took me a very long time. And the only way I could really do it, that the time made the difference in giving that person and my feelings about it to God every day did make a difference. But sometimes I think we're expected to forgive, you know, just, well, forgive that person and move on. Well, it takes a while. But with, as you said, with the grace of confession and with giving that person to God and your feelings about it, and, you know, I always say, let me have Mary's heart. Let me be like your mother, that's the way, you know, I could handle it. And I think you're talking the same.
Oh, absolutely. And for our Blessed Mother to stand at the foot of, you know, her son's cross and to receive all of us as her children and to, you know, be able to bear what she bore is the perfect example of, really, I pray for her grace too in the times when I'm feeling hurt. And sometimes it's harder to forgive someone who's hurt one of your loved ones, children, a child or, you know, your spouse or family member. And that can be very, very painful, but also, you know, healing when we are able to let those things go to God.
Right.
That's so true. And in the Lord's Prayer, our Lord taught us to pray that way. And we must remember that in that prayer, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we're asking God to forgive us if we forgive others. And we put a condition on ourselves there. So we kind of accuse ourselves, rightfully so, I might add. And then, especially when I hear someone say to me, and I've heard this so many times, well, I can forgive, but I'm not going to forget.
Yeah, I can't forget.
Right. Oh, dear.
Yes. That doesn't do it, does it? Before we run out of time, Lisa, tell us why Mother's Day is important to you.
You know, well, first of all, we've mentioned the tie-in to the Blessed Mother, but I have to say that I was raised by the penultimate Catholic mom. I'm the oldest of five, and my mom, Anne, is really, I always sign my name Lisa M. We share the middle name Marie, and my mom is my role model in my life and one of my best friends. And I love the ability to pay tribute to my mom, to pray for her in a special way, and when possible, to celebrate with her.
Yeah, how nice. How nice that you have your mom, you still have your mom. Father, tell us about why Mother's Day is important to you. Tell me about your mother.
Well, you know, it's one of those difficult things to even sometimes talk about, the love of one's mother. I owe my mother so very, very much. She was a wonderful, wonderful lady. And whenever I think about her, it always brings love really welling up and usually throws a big old lump in my throat.
Sure.
And I miss her terribly, and I'm so glad that I believe in intercessory prayer so I can talk to her.
How nice. And a special, you know, a special happy Mother's Day to all of our listeners. Lisa, tell us, where can people go to purchase your books?
Well, if you're fortunate enough to have a Catholic bookstore in your community, please go there. They really, really need our support, and they usually can either have it in stock or order it. The books are also available through my publisher, Ave Maria Press, or at Amazon.com.
Well, very good. That's nice to always remember that these small stores really do need our support, and I really encourage everyone to buy locally and make sure that, you know, you do, and buy Lisa's books especially.
As Thank we, you, Father.
Okay. And as we look at what it means to celebrate motherhood on this Mother's Day, wouldn't this be a wonderful time for you to learn more about the Mother of Jesus? Maybe we've always heard that Mary is a very important part of our religion, and of course, she is the one chosen to be the Theotokos, which is the God carrier. She bore Jesus Christ in her womb. And Mary gives us the example of the ideal motherhood, one who felt sorrow but was very brave, brought courage, brought love, was loved by her son, respected by the disciples, loved dearly by her husband, Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, given the responsibility of caring for Jesus and Jesus' mother upon this earth, looked after by God the Father, no doubt about that, and chosen to be our mother, our spiritual mother. And isn't this a wonderful time to remember to bring that spiritual bouquet to your church and in your home on this Mother's Day? Give your mothers the respect that they deserve, the love that they yearn for and deserve, and the memory of those mothers who have gone before us, and our grandmothers, and our great-grandmothers, and all of the women who have brought their love into our lives and taught us what it is to truly be a child of God.
This is such a perfect time for us to say Happy Mother's Day to all. Lisa, to you and to your family and to your mom who so influenced you, thank you for being with us. And I remind everybody to go to CatholicMom.com and to purchase Lisa's book, The Grace of Yes, 8 Virtues for Living Generously, because that's what we all want to do. Father, would you give your gift of your blessing to all of the mothers who are listening today?
Almighty God, we thank you for the many gifts that you have bestowed upon us, and we look forward to daily receiving your marching orders. May we march well in the footsteps laid out for us. And may your blessing be upon each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas, 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.